last word on business.
With Forvis Mazars. Global insights, local solutions. Redefining professional services. Visit forvismazars.ie.
Ian Guider from the Business Post. We have an extraordinary amount of things to talk about for the first week of August. Start for me, please, with the looming battle between employees of the banks and their management over the issue of how many days they come to the office for work or how many days they work from home. Because the Financial Services Union today has issued an instruction to members in Bank of Ireland.
Yes, this is going to be a real battle between the workers and the bank management. So last month, Bank of Ireland told staff that from September, you would be required to work in the office for at least 8 days per month. So that's the equivalent of 2 days per week. And then, of course, then you had AIB telling its staff, well, from next January, we expect you into the office 3 days per week. Now, what the Financial Services Union have said, none of these were agreed with them, because of course over the last number of years the banks had allowed people to have hybrid and flexible working arrangements, and obviously this is coming up fairly quickly for Bank of Ireland staff in just over a month's time. So the Workers Union, the FSU, has said it's telling its members, keep to your current arrangements. Don't change it until there's negotiations with the Bank of Ireland management to work out a compromise or some sort of solution. Bank of Ireland management are saying, no, actually, we expect you to comply with this demand that you come in for a mandated 8 days per month. And we will not be negotiating whatsoever about this, because they believe that staff already enjoy a certain amount of flexible work, and that it's better for staff in all the banks, they believe, and both management teams have echoed this, that people will come in for these designated days.
Where is this heading? Is this heading towards strike? Are people working from home going to have to start picketing their own houses?
It would be the most unusual strike, and I also think it would be a strike that would have very little support, because of course, Matt, there are staff working in both Bank of Ireland and AIB who of course have to turn up to their place of work 5 days per week in the bank branches. Yes, there are people who work in head office who can work flexibly. The banks, both of them, set up hubs around the country where people could turn up to, and that would be counted as part of their working in the office. But the banks, you staff would say, and there's a good report in the Journal today which has spoken to a number of staff in each of the banks saying, well, look, we predicated a lot of our big decisions in our lives around this. Some people moved down the country to take advantage of lower renting and house prices. People might have bought a home and say, well, actually, I would now be facing a massively long commute if I had to go into the office a certain number of days per week, and that it would be designated by the employer what those days were. So I think we are on a collision course here. And I suppose, you would say, well, look, there are other organisations, never mind all frontline workers who have to turn up to their jobs every day. People in the retail sector, people in factories, people in various other roles don't get to work from home. But also, there is a push by a lot of multinational companies to get their staff back in, never mind 2 or 3 days per week, but to get them in 5 days per week.
Okay, let's move on to other stories. This, I think, is a remarkable one. Donald Trump today took to Truth Social and called for the newly appointed chief executive of Intel, Lip-Bu Tan, to resign, alleging that the semiconductor industry veteran is, quote, highly conflicted. He said, the CEO of Intel is highly, all caps, conflicted, and must resign immediately. There is no other solution to this problem. When was it last the case that the President of the United States would issue a diktat telling a private company, or a publicly owned company, that it actually has to sack its boss?
It's very, very unusual, and the share price of Intel has fallen by about 3% today on the back of this. What's driving Donald Trump's animosity now towards the new chief executive of Intel, who is only in place since March? Well, last night, as he hosted Apple's chief executive Tim Cook for that big announcement of a $100 billion investment, he said, well, actually, our next plan is to get manufacturing of semiconductors back to the United States, and if all of these companies didn't agree, he would slap a 100% tariff on semiconductor imports into the United States. which is very important for us here in Ireland. We'll get back to that in a moment.
And did Tan tell him where to jump?
I think the problem is Intel have much bigger problems than Donald Trump's tariffs right now. This company is really struggling. The new boss is cutting back on investment around the world.
And it already has significant US manufacturing facilities, but if it had to increase those at the expense of Ireland and other places, I think it'd be totally shagged.
I think part of Intel's problem was it actually started to invest in the United States under President Biden's CHIPS Act, where they got money to put new factories in America, and it's not working out for them because, of course, all of the big semiconductor companies are based in Southeast Asia, in South Korea and Taiwan and China, and that is where the home of semiconductors really are right now. Donald Trump doesn't want it. Intel is struggling. It's shedding 15,000 jobs. As I said, they're cutting back on investment around the world, and I don't think they really want to get into a dispute with the United States to have them spend the vital amount of money they have building new factories when they're struggling to produce any chips that are really wanted in the market right now from its factories around the world.
Yeah, but isn't there an issue here that Tan has many investments in Chinese tech companies? And indeed, only last week, and I'm looking at the Financial Times here, a company that he used to run from California, Cadence Design Systems, admitted violating US export controls by selling its chip design tools to a Chinese university with close ties to the military.
Yeah, and there has been a big push in the United States, not just to get the manufacturing back to America for jobs reasons, but for geopolitical reasons, because there is a big fear that, of course, if you have China with access to sensitive systems, it would steal a march on America economically in things like artificial intelligence and on security. So there are two issues here which are coming to the fore. But the fact that Donald Trump singled out one individual is very unusual, and it should be said, we really need to keep an eye on this, because 100% tariffs on imports or exports of chips to the United States would really hurt Intel, because a lot of its activities here go to the US.
And this is on top of what he said earlier in the week about pharmaceuticals going to 150%, then 250% tariffs.
That's,
and of course,
he wasn't taught well in Wharton, where he did his MBA.
Yeah, then, of course, his global tariffs took effect at midnight Washington time. And American import duties are now at the highest level in a century. So these are not trade deals. These are anti-trade deals that he's been enforcing around the world.
They're almost economic sanctions. But I was listening to an interview with Scott Bessent, the finance minister, today. He was talking about how much money they're actually going to bring into America for this if all of these sanctions stay in place for full year. 15% on the EU, 10% on the United Kingdom. We've got 39% on Switzerland. They could rake in $300 billion of revenue, which is really what you could see that America needs money. It's got a huge budget deficit.
But that comes at a price.
It's borrowing a fortune. Well, this is the economic argument that if you start slapping sanctions or tariffs on your trading partners, well, then they'll cease trading with you. You won't just get the revenue. You'll cause economic damage to the United States
as well. You make everything in the United States for consumers and for businesses more expensive.
And of course, where inflation is already still struggling to get down to the Federal Reserve's level, which is why they can't cut interest rates. But is there method to the madness of what's going on? As I said, they have a ballooning budget deficit. They're borrowing trillions of dollars every year, $40 billion in national debt. That is unsustainable. So if they can get money in from tariffs, that allows them to run the government along with all of those, well, some of those cuts that Elon Musk made as part of his Doge cost-cutting efforts.
Bring it back home, though, because the summer economic statement and recent government pronouncements were talking about 50,000 to 70,000 jobs that would have been created might not now be created because of tariffs. Shouldn't we really be looking at the existing jobs that might be lost? And we're already starting to see signs of a slowdown.
We have become so accustomed in the last number of years to unemployment being in and around 4% or even lower, which is full employment. And today, just an early indication that perhaps all is not well in the jobs market, that in July, the unemployment rate ticked up to 4.9%. It was 4.5% in July last year, and it stands at just under 144,000 people. That's up 12,700 year on year. And it's not because there's loads of extra students on it when they finish their exams, because the CSO seasonally adjusts these figures to take account of all of that. So there has been an increase in unemployment. It is worth watching. What's behind it? There was job losses, of course. There's been job losses in the tech sector. There's been job losses in the retail sector and the hospitality sector. But also, perhaps AI might be having an impact. We know that there are certain graduate level roles are no longer available. So this is worthwhile monitoring after a number of years of full employment.
One last thing I want to ask you about. Eli Lilly has been developing a weight loss oral pill, a competitor to the injectable that Ozempic is from Novo Nordisk. But how well is it doing?
Well, take your pick as to whether it's good news or bad news, because today they put out the results of a trial saying that if you took this pill once per day, over 72 weeks, you could expect to lose around 12.4% of your body weight. However, if you compared that to the Novo Nordisk wonder drug Wegovy, over 72 weeks, you'd lose just over 20% of your body weight. And on the back of that, share price today in Eli Lilly sank by around 15%, wiping the guts of $100 billion of the value of this company, because while it is showing weight loss, it's not seen as potentially disrupting the existing weight loss drugs on the market. Lots of people have said, what do you really need to sell more of these drugs? It's getting away from the injectables, which of course take more time to be built. You have to have all the plants that can make the drugs itself, never mind the compounds. And a pill was seen as something that would lead to a lot more people taking it. Well, if you're going to take a weight loss drug and it's not as effective as the one that's on the market for a little bit of extra effort of having to inject it, well, then what's the point of the pill? So therefore, you're seeing the share price of Eli Lilly falling today.
Down 14%.
As I said, 14% of a huge company value. This company was today worth around $700 billion. It's down to around $610 billion right now. And after Novo Nordisk, which we talked about last week, putting out a profit warning that its sales weren't going as quickly, its shares actually shot up by the same amount that Lilly went down. Look, I have said this to you a number of times. These drugs are going to be wonder drugs. They will do all sorts of things, but until they get the compound right to show that you can actually get sufficient weight loss with a pill, you're not going to get the switch away from the injectables.
Ian Guider of the Business Post, thank you.
The Last Word on Today FM.